Hello, and welcome back to Hip to Be a Square podcast, your place for things quilty and geeky. Today is a Saturday because I missed recording on Friday, and that's how it happens now. Because unfortunately, I can't podcast during the day because of my day job, and can't do it at night because we are live streaming. So, I confess I am struggling with keeping the personal side of the podcast feed going. I have good reasons to keep it alive. However, it is just a struggle because I feel like when I do come on here, hey, it's been 2 weeks, but I do a lot of stuff that I can't talk about on here because it's pre-release or it's under contract or I just sat and stared into space because I'm so tired. So, yeah. I think I need to change some things up for 2019, and I'm not quite sure what all that means. So, that being said, I just feel like, well, what a bummer of a way to start a podcast, but it's actually been a good couple of weeks, mostly, I think. You know, we had my daughter's birthday, we had a wedding anniversary, we had no snow, which is nice, talking to other parts of the country, and it was -4, and, you know, it was 20 degrees here where I am in the southern U.S., which is cold for us, but not insurmountably so. So I have locked myself in a room because it's 9 o'clock at night, and there are cats panicking that I have shut them out. So there's frantic clawing at the door going on behind me. Oh, it's delightful. So I have French doors that separate the room that I'm in and my bedroom. And Jet is pawing at the glass, and I look and I just see these little fat paws as he frantically tries to get. So anyway, this is amusing. Why not do live commentary on the state of my cats? Because y'all, if you wanted that, you should go to my Instagram channel. Okay. So in terms of sewing, I got to a place where my cutting table was really clean. And not just because I had cleaned stuff up, but because I was finishing things and making progress and being more organized. And I'm not quite done yet, because I'm about to just make another big mess with other stuff, which is fine. But I find that happens at the end of every mystery quilt that I do for Bonnie Hunter. Like, I get done and there's just so many scraps and pieces and parts affiliated with it that it just, ugh. I just get done with it. And then I'm done with everything on that table. So I got to a spot where it was really clean, and now of course it's messy again because I went and made something. I'll have a video posted on this, but I was fiddling around with a project using kind of an orphan block, one I had made in a class, and it didn't really have a role, you know, anywhere else in my life. And so I came up with a project to use it in, and did that, and had filmed it for, you know, our YouTube channel. So that's the mess down there facing me right now. Now here's the other thing. I had seen Daisy from Lazy Daisy, or Very Lazy Daisy Quilts, or Lazy Daisy Quilts. Honestly, Daisy, I'm sorry, I have forgotten what your handle is, and I think you've changed it since then. Post about the clothes that she makes from Love Notions, which is primarily knit, a little bit of woven, but primarily knit. And I joined their Facebook group a while ago and just kind of take it in, see the eye candy, see everyone's projects, get inspired, and decided to try my hand. Now, I don't have a serger. I used to, but it froze up, and it has not quite been repaired yet. However, I do have a very fancy Janome with like 11 billion stitches, some of which are exactly meant for stretch stitches for knits. So, had some knit fabric, keeping it real, did the cutting okay, did my measurements, didn't have to do any grading on anything, got the, front and back sewn together, got the sleeves attached, got the neckband attached, went to do the finishing on the neckband, and my machine started being a big jerk, and basically the twin needle that I was using, because that's a nicer way to finish knit hems, just instead of, going through the fabric, just pushed it down through the needle hole and jammed it up. And I got so mad that I just pretty much yoinked it out and threw it in the trash because it had ripped a hole in the fabric. And yeah, I was just over it. Just over it. And so I keep thinking, all right, am I going to go back to this? Am I going to pull it out of the trash? Because I haven't like thrown coffee grounds or anything on it. It's just in the trash in my sewing room. Am I going to pull it out of the trash and redo the neckband? Or am I just going to leave it there? I don't know. And I don't know that. I think it was just the combination of the type of knit I was using and the twin needle, the one I picked may have been too close together. That shouldn't be an issue. I don't know. I think I need to reattach the neckband anyway, just because it's puckery in some places. So it just, ugh. Yuck. Yeah. So that was my frustration this week and why I went back to doing a quilted project, because I am much better at that than I am at clothing. Sigh. So, I don't know, just not terribly inspired as a result, and I don't feel like I'm making good use of my time when I work on something and it doesn't get to a part where I feel like it's actually usable or finished. And I'm not really mad at myself, I'm just kind of generally angry, like, ugh, why? So, yeah, so I was frustrated in the sewing room this week, and now my table's a mess again when it was clean, and yeah, and I have quilts I need to finish, so why aren't I spending that time quilting instead of fiddling with clothes that are gonna look janky and homemade? So yeah, just feeling not great about the sewing room right now. And I also needed to take a break from reading because I had the library whole debacle happen again, where I ended up with like three ebooks checked out at the same time as one physical book. And I got everything read by the due date, like not a problem. But that always stresses me out too. And once I got through like reading four books in a week, I have another one that I'm supposed to be reading from the library, but I haven't started it yet just because I got mad at books, and the books did nothing wrong. All right, Jed is back and clawing at the door, which feels slightly distracting and not great, so let me go see about letting him in. Well, Jed says hi. The whole reason I had that particular set of doors shut is because my husband was in there folding laundry, and I didn't particularly want him, like, just wondering what the heck I'm doing in here. He knew so I needed to record a podcast, but anyway, Jed has been rescued from whatever horrible fate was befalling him outside the door, and now he's just irritating me by turning circles on my lap. Anyway, don't step on the keyboard. That's not going to end well. Yeah. So. Books. Let me do a quick rundown of the books I did read, because I did enjoy two of them quite a bit. The other two were okay. So I've been reading the Carolina Heirlooms. It's not really a series. It's more of a collection by Lisa Wingate. I had thought it would be a series. Stories aren't really related, so the structure of each story is the same. So the second one in the collection is called The Story Keeper. And like the first one, it's a mix of present-day storytelling and kind of flashback, but not to the characters themselves, but to a parallel and somewhat related story. So in this particular case, one of the characters finds a manuscript. And so the second story is what's being told through this manuscript. And it's kind of, you know, it's a woman and inspiration, and she goes to the Carolinas, and she's going back to her roots and trying to figure out, you know, where did this manuscript come from? What's the story behind it, etc. You know, it was good. I will say, when you have a gimmick like that, and I was reading the ebook version, publishers are not always as aware of the formatting as they should be in this type of stuff. And so at certain points, you know, the text from the manuscript would be in a slightly different font and bold. And, you know, the character names are different, so you could tell, like, oh, it's not about the present day, it's about the characters in the book. But then at some points, they would completely forget that formatting, and it would be no different, and all of a sudden, it's just very jarring. And so I struggled with the book in that way. And I was reading it on a Kindle, just in case anybody stumbles across it on a Kindle. I found that particularly aggravating, because it's like, really? Publishers, you had one job. It's like formatting. And then occasionally, and I find this across publishers too, randomly, they will just completely bork up the formatting. And instead of a paragraph, it is like a single column of letters. And there's no way to read that, because it like cuts off the text and you can't tell what the heck's happening. It reminded me of like the one time I got a print book with a really horrendous error in it. I was reading Da Vinci Code when it first came out. A friend of mine had gotten me the hard copy of the book. It was a hardcover, and I was reading it, and I got to like page 212, and then all of a sudden there was just 20 blank pages, and then the book started over. And I thought, well, now this is a conspiracy. They didn't want me to know how it ended. So that was bizarre too. Now I did take it back to the bookstore, like, this is really not right. And they were aghast and interested, and like, how did this even happen? Like, I mean, who knows? But because it was a book about conspiracy theories, it was like, huh, maybe it was conspiracy. So anyway, yeah, the inconsistent formatting for this one drove me nuts. It didn't detract from the story, but it took me out of it. And I also admit, like, I don't really, this type of story structure doesn't really resonate with me. Like, I'm getting into the characters in the present in the main storyline. Why are you distracting me with the second one? And unless it's done really well, where there's definite integration and tie-ins between the two, and you know what those are, like, to me, it feels like a frill that doesn't need to be there in a good story. So, while I appreciate Lisa Wingate's writing and her character development, like, the structure of these books bothers me. And so the book that I have waiting on my Kindle is the third one in this collection, and I'm pretty sure that's why I'm putting off reading it, because I know it's going to be the same kind of thing, where it's a story, not even within a story, but alongside a story, and I'm like, okay, come on. So, ugh. I just hope the formatting's better. Now, the next one that I read, or actually listened to, was an audiobook, and it's Karen McManus. It was her first book, and it's a couple years old now, I think, and it's called One of Us is Lying, and it's like teenage murder mystery. Because it kind of opens like The Breakfast Club. Tanisha got that right on her review of it. Where, you know, these kids are all in detention and, you know, it's the misfit, the geek, the nerd, the jock, you know. Okay, cool, we get it. Stereotypes are alive and well. And one of the kids dies in detention. And then the whole rest of the book is figuring out, like, who done it. And I think, like most people, I kind of sussed out who done it about midway through, but that didn't detract from my enjoyment of the journey, because it's done with rotating narration. So each of the other four kids that was in detention, like the point of view swaps between them. And it, you know, it kind of comes out like, hey, each one of them has a different secret, and what's the deal? And you're uncovering more about them and their lives. So I did, I was really into it. I did feel slightly cheesy for like not wanting to put down this teen book, but it was good. So there's that. And that's One of Us is Lying by Karen McManus. Now, the other book that I read this past couple weeks was Kingdom of the Blind, which is the 14th book in the Inspector Armand Gamache series by Louise Penny. And I know a number of us out there in Quilty Podcast land have read these books. It was another good one. I found this one a little easier to follow than some of the others. And maybe it's just because I had gotten off the whiplash of the other recent novel of the dual stories. But I find sometimes Louise Penny's writing implies things that I don't quite pick up the meaning of, and then I feel dumb afterwards. And I didn't have that with this one. So either I got super smart or her writing changed a little bit. And if you're not aware, her husband passed within the last couple years, and obviously that is affecting her in a number of ways, and I think for a while she thought that she was done writing as a result. And so this book kind of is definitively after his passing, and she references it at the acknowledgments at the end. And I don't know if that affected her style of writing, but this book felt like it had a lot more clarity to it than some of her previous books. Not in a significant way or a way that drastically changed her storytelling mechanism. But I just found it a little easier to follow than some of her others. So anyway, it was another good addition to the series. I would not dive in with this one. Like, oh, I'm just pick this one up to start. It's your first book you read of hers. I would start at the beginning. So that's what I had going on for books. Now, going back to sewing, I think I am going to pull that shirt out of the trash, because why not? But I'm also going to set myself up and do something that I know I can be successful at tomorrow as well. So I shall go downstairs and detach that neckband, and then I will set it aside. And then I will probably go to bed. And then in the morning, I will reattach the neckband, attempt the double needle again, and then I will plan to quilt something. And there you go. I think that'll be my plan for tomorrow. I don't think we have anything else going on we need to do. Oh, exciting news. We had a roof leak. So I had to get up early this morning because the guys from the roofing company, because we had a roof replaced last April, was coming between 8 and 9 a.m. And the leak is on a skylight, which is part of the roof over our first level. And we have, you know, a second story where the bedrooms are. So I thought the guy was going to just stay on the back of the house where the skylight was, but he put the ladder in the front and then like walked along the roof around to the back, like, and tromping around outside my kids' rooms. And I told them the roof guy was coming, but I did not tell them, and by the way, he's going to be walking around right on the other side of your bedroom walls, probably while you're still sleeping. Now, neither of them said anything about it, but I thought, oh, great. Here we go. And my daughter just turned 13, and if anything's going to freak a 13-year-old out, it's a man walking around right outside your bedroom window when you don't expect it because you live on the top floor. Fortunately, nothing happened there. Goodness. And then I decided that I was going to be productive today and fix two plumbing issues that have been bothering me for a while. We have two different drips. We had a drip in our faucet in our downstairs powder room, which is just irritating. It wasn't loud, but it was irritating because that's the bathroom I use the most when I work from home, and I go in there and I just see that it's just dripping. I'm like, well, this is just wasting water. And I had kind of mentioned it to my husband because it's been dripping for, you know, a couple months. And he's like, oh, we just have to replace the faucet. Now, I'm the one that put the faucet in. I know how to replace a faucet. Not a big deal. But I just thought, you know what? I don't want to replace this faucet. I want to figure out how to fix it. Because I assume it can be fixed. Turns out, yes, it can be fixed. So if you don't know how faucets work, this particular style, there's two handles. And you turn them to get the water going, and there's a, you know, a cold handle and a hot handle. And so within each handle is a mechanism called a cartridge that kind of like seals up the gasket, seals up the water line with a gasket. And, you know, when you turn the thing, it kind of opens the little gate to let the water out, and that's what comes out the faucet. So that had to be replaced on the cold water handle. So good news, I got that replaced. I looked it up on the YouTubes, saw a couple of ding-dongs that were like, I'm not good at plumbing, but here I go doing it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a YouTube channel and I can also be a ding-dong doing this. So I figured out how to replace it. After cursing the fact that we can't seem to keep a set of Allen wrenches together in this house, which are like the little hexagon-shaped wrenches. And I have certain tools that I bought just for me that my husband thinks are like not good enough to use, but that's what saves them from parts being missing, because I love him dearly, but he does not put things away where they go. And so I have a full set of drill bits that he doesn't touch because he thinks they're not good. But you know what? 2 years later, I still have a full set of drill bits. So anyway, couldn't get a hex key that would fit. But you know what? Found a stinking hex bit in my drill kit bit that I could use. So anyway, I bought myself a new set of Allen wrenches. So I have my own set of little hex keys. And got the cartridge for the faucet. And then the toilet in the kids' bathroom keeps just dripping obnoxiously loud enough that you hear it when you're sitting on the couch trying to watch TV in the living room. And so I was trying to figure out what that was. I, at one point in a bachelorette party in my 20s, was a big hit because I replaced the entire internal assembly of a toilet at a bachelorette party. And so again, I had confidence that I could fix whatever this was. Just wasn't quite sure what it was. And it turns out just to be a leak not a great seal on the flapper valve. So when you push down the handle to flush the toilet, there's a lever arm inside that like pulls on a chain that lifts up the flapper valve that lets all the water drain out into the toilet, and that's, you know, how it flushes. Well, there was a leak in that thing. So while I was out there getting my new hex keys and my new cartridge for the faucet, got the new flapper valve thing, got that replaced, fixed two plumbing issues today. So hooray. Of course, in the middle of all that, something went terribly wrong with the water heater because I was trying to film something quilting wise, not, hey guys, look at me being a ding dong doing plumbing work. And Fred would not leave me alone. Like, it was just toenails clacking in the background. And so I finally just shoved him outside where then he could just scratch the door incessantly. And I went out to just, you know, make stern faces at him. And I just hear like rushing water, and that's never a good sign. So I suss out that it's coming from the overflow valve of the hot water heater. So like the pressure has built up too much. So it could be temperature, it could be pressure, because those two things are related in a water heater. And I know there's a formula for it, but I don't have it memorized anymore because I already graduated college 20 years ago. But warm water is coming out of our house through an overflow pipe. So it turns out that we need a new overflow valve on the water heater. Now this requires like legit plumbing skills, like pipe cutting and soldering, and that is my husband's domain. So anyway, he took care of that. But I did think like, oh no, by fixing these two drips, we have built up too much pressure inside the house. In the plumbing. Because that's what happens when you take a closed system and you change something. You never know what it's going to affect. Turns out, no, unrelated, just suspicious timing. So, good news. All the plumbing seems to be okay now. So, what an adventure. So, with that being said, it's about time for me to turn into a pumpkin. It's 9:30. I'm going to go unstitch that neckband, gosh darn it, and set myself up for success tomorrow. So, thank you guys for hanging in there and coming back. So, next week, what do we have dropping? Oh yeah, next week we have an episode of the Stitch TV show dropping. And then, boop. So February 8th, I will be back. And then after that, there'll be another episode of The Stitch. I'm looking at the calendar because I have a trip in the middle of February too. So should be all good. Not going to miss anything with The Stitch because we've already got that. We'll have that filmed next week. So hope you guys have a great week and a great weekend. Quilt long and prosper. The opening music is a theme from The Stitch by Big Think Productions, courtesy of Ed and Eddie, LLC. To find out more about the podcast and listen to archived episodes, visit the website at www.hiptobeasquarepodcast.com. You can contact me, Pam, by emailing info@hiptobeasquarepodcast.com, leaving a comment on the website, or by following me on Twitter at PantsFreesia. You can also find me on Pinterest, Instagram, and Flickr as PantsFreesia. Watch my show, The Stitch, online at www.thestitchtvshow.com and follow the show on Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest at The Stitch TV Show. Don't forget, it's hip to be a square.